Lord, we thank you and we honor your great name for what you are doing through this institution and the disciples that have been equipped and that which we use each and every one of them to accomplish for your kingdom. We ask that this morning your mighty presence might be released to empower them, to galvanize them as we release them into their unique facet of human endeavor to bear witness of your name and of your resurrection. We ask in a moment that you breathe on the words that I will speak in the few minutes that I have and bring encouragement, bring empowerment, and take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Please, you may be seated. Congratulations to all the students. You are survivors. I know it's not everyone that started out that is experiencing this moment. And just like God has given you the grace to complete this moment, you will fulfill your destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, turn your Bible with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. You already should guess where I'm going. I'm going to verse number 15. Which says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I want to take us through a historical path with the intention to amplify the significance of this scripture that I have brought to the fore. Israel historically was first conquered by the Assyrians. And after the Assyrians conquered Israel, the Babylonians also conquered Israel. After the Babylonians, then the Persians. During the time of the Persian rule, they were quite benevolent because they allowed the Jews to build their temple, they allowed the Jews to practice their religion. They did not approve for them to have their own king, so they were not self-governing, but they allowed them to run their own belief system, because every belief system has code of conduct, it has practice and procedure. So they felt that the belief system of the Jews was sufficient law, and because of that they gave them liberty to practice their religion. And the moment they were given this privilege, a challenge appeared. The challenge that appeared was that there was a need for some specialized kind of leadership to find expression that had the requisite competence in interpreting the law. Are you with me? They were given the privilege to be self-governing only in the area of their religion, but they were not given political liberty. Now that they were allowed to practice their religion, they were confronted with a great challenge. And a new kind of leader must emerge. First, that he is competent in the interpretation of the law. And secondly, such leadership that has the capacity and the impetus to enforce the law. It is because of this privilege that all kinds of scholars began to spring up. And they began to develop their different types of traditions. I like us to read the book of Ezra, chapter 7, verse number 10. So the opportunity that they were offered gave them that platform, a platform to exercise their faith, to exercise their religion. But in the heart of the practice of their faith, in the heart of the practice of their religion, was the issue of interpreting the law. For instance, one of such leaders that rose in such a dispensation is the man Ezra. And this was the determination of Ezra in the book of Ezra, chapter 7, beginning from verse number 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach Israel's statutes and judgments. This was occasioned by the benevolence of the Persian rulers. Hallelujah. Men would need to develop competence in an area that was not previously required. They were crying out for emancipation. They were crying out for liberation. They wanted to be self-governing, and they were given partial grants to their requests, only for them to realize that there were no such leaders on ground that had the competence to accurately interpret the law. So men like Ezra decided to put themselves under pressure to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. It was also interesting to know that the Persians were not the only ones that conquered Israel. Even though they were given this window, subsequently the Greeks also gained in command of the territory. And the Greeks had a great leader called Alexander. I know you know the story. And Alexander's vision was to Greekify the whole world. Maybe someone like Gideon, my friend, should have been. If Alexander had succeeded in his vision, maybe Gideon's name would be Temelios. So he wanted to Greekify the world. And they were so bent on this vision. And even though Alexander himself did not live for so long, he was taken out. Ptolemy took his place, and Ptolemy was more vicious in seeking to Greekify the world. And so it went until it came to pass that there were two basic blocks of interpreting the laws of God. The first block, which eventually became the block of the Pharisees, were burdened with the passion to return Israel back to her original native traditional roots. And so they had this disposition of establishing that which was obtainable in the ancient scenario. The Sadducees, on the other hand, hallelujah, were modernists. And the influence of the efforts of the Greek leaders to Greekify the world had had a toll on their vista of interpreting the laws of God. I'd like us to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Then we'll read from verse 6 to verse 12. If you are still in the congregation, say amen. Amen. And I'm taking this somewhere. I just want you to follow me. Because we're in a critical time. And the implication of my presentation will be fully grasped as I tie up the burden and present the challenge. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It means that Jesus' doctrinal position was not quite the Pharisee template. It was not quite the Sadducee template. As we study on, you will find that the Pharisees considered Jesus to be too liberal. If you are still with me, say amen. You know, I started with a scripture. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaving of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And if you have ever attempted to bake cake or bread, you know the place of yeast and what it does in making the dough rise. And in the eyes of Jesus, the service delivery, the leadership that is coming on the strength of the philosophy of the Pharisees, the leadership, the inspiration, the impute that will be coming from the Sadducees, Jesus called it leaven. And Jesus was putting his inner circle in perspective and raising an alarm about the impact of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Next verse. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak not concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bid them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So when this opportunity was given to Israel, two blocks of leaders with different persuasions emerged. And it will interest you to know that even though they had divergent persuasions, they were allowed to contend under one roof. You know, those days, if you want to solve a brow, one of the best ways of doing that is to separate the people that are contending. But in the case of what we have in the Bible, the contention between the Pharisees and the Sadducees was to be done under one roof, under the auspices of the Jewish ruling council or the Sanhedrin. Let us take a moment and consider the convictions of the Pharisees and also compare it with the convictions of the Sadducees. So if you came with a jotter, I'd like you to draw a chart. Then you put Pharisees on the right and you put Sadducees on the left side. Hallelujah. In the eyes, well, maybe let's continue with our permutation. But Jesus has already given us a metaphor to describe what you will find among the Pharisees and what you will find among the Sadducees. He called it leaven. So what, number one, on the Pharisee side, the Pharisees, the golden vision of the Pharisees is that they are attempting to restore the purity of the old customs. They believe that their ways were purest in his cradle. So they want to take everyone on a journey towards embracing the original and the native content and traditions of Judaism. Meanwhile, on the other hand, we had the Sadducees, and their vision was that they wanted to establish a template that seemed to be more consistent with present social reality. That if you drive us into hallowed antiquity, we might be totally out of sync with the reality of our society, and we may not be relevant enough to impact society. So they want, it was like they gave accommodation for a review. Number two, you must have seen that the Pharisees were conservative, the Sadducees were liberal. Number three, the Pharisees believe in the supernatural and they believe in resurrection. We can find this from the book of Acts, chapter 23, verse 6 to 8. They believe in the supernatural. They believe that Moses parted the Red Sea. They believed that Joshua gave a decree and the sun, the moon, the galaxy stood still in order for God to give them additional allowance to win a battle. He took a day out of the month of February. The Pharisees believe that. Hallelujah. Are you there? In the book of Acts, chapter 23, verse 6. I'm going to make reference to this scripture twice. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other part Pharisees, he cried out in the council. Paul was put on the spotlight. He was put on the spotlight because he was perceived as an individual that had a venom in him which had the potential to compromise the belief system that had been sustained over the ages in Judaism. So he was put on the spotlight.
to defend himself. He was put on the spotlight to educate a literate congregation about this new philosophy that they wanted to sell among the people. Because the Sanhedrin were the last line of security in terms of wading off false philosophies to get to the common Jewish person on the streets. So they had to put him on the spotlight. And when he showed up on the spotlight, being that he himself was a Pharisee by training, he did not arrive at this approach, this strategy of defense by the Holy Spirit's inspiration. It was by perception. He noticed that the congregation that was going to be putting him under this scrutiny was divided in themselves, for in their midst were Pharisees, and in their midst were what? Were Sadducees. So he cried out. Now, so before this time, he probably did not, he spoke softly. But upon this realization, his tone, his approach in his defense changed, and he cried out in the council, and this was what he said: "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, am I called in question?" Now, the next verse will give us an insight into the impact of that, his little defense. So he is attempting to squash the case on the basis of technicalities. Just like someone, let me not go there. This is sensitive. This is a very sensitive season. So, and when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. Why? For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. So, number three, the Pharisees believe in the supernatural. The Pharisees believe in resurrection. The Pharisees believe that they are angels. The Pharisees believe that they are spirits. But on the other hand, the Sadducees do not believe that they are spirits. They do not believe in the supernatural. They do not believe in the resurrection. Matthew, I think this were two scriptures to establish the case. Matthew chapter 22, verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him. All right, number four. Pharisees have so many laws and regulations. Not just for themselves. The thing about the Pharisees is they have these I don't know what to call it. Maybe superiority complex. So they develop laws for themselves, Pharisees. And also develop laws for everybody that is an Israelite. As you will see very shortly, the Pharisees were the only sect that even raised a militia to enforce their positions. And it will interest you to know that Apostle Paul was one of the zealots that was in the first, I'm looking for the proper military word for this. All right. In the first group of people that were gotten to function as the militia of the Pharisees, the enforcement arm of their philosophy. Apostle Paul was one of them. All right? So, number four. On the Sadducee side, the The Sadducees were not really about laws. But let me give you an idea. Matthew chapter 5 verse 20 should give us an insight into the life of a Pharisee. For I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, are you there with me? Because Pharisees established their own unique laws. So on the strength of their unique laws, they have their own unique idea of what it means to be righteous. So righteousness among the Pharisees was a different matter, because they had their unique laws. If we go on in the study, because of time, I don't want to go that far. If we go on in the study, you will see that a Pharisee must fast for 2 times in a week. I don't know when last you fasted. But in order for a Pharisee to be righteous according to the standards of the Pharisees, he must fast twice a week. But Jesus is saying that your righteousness will need to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes in order for you to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, whenever you see Jesus' position, it was always contrary to the position of the Pharisees. It was always contrary to the position of the Sadducees. The Pharisees considered Jesus to be too liberal because Jesus seemed not to be pushing the high standards that the Pharisees were pushing out. So they didn't see him as a Pharisee. And Jesus believed in the supernatural and walked in the supernatural. So the Sadducees could not say he was one of them. So it will interest you to know, therefore, are you with me? You are not following me. It will interest you to know, therefore, why Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night to present accreditation papers to him. Because this is the boisterous introduction concerning Nicodemus in the book of Matthew, John chapter 3, verse number 1. Give me John 3, 1 quickly as I try to. He said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You see, Nicodemus was sent. There was a clique among the Pharisees that believed that Jesus was accurate, and Nicodemus was one of them. So it is that clique that sent Nicodemus to give him accreditation. We know that you are a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest. So you will see the reason for which the Pharisees in that clique endorsed Jesus was what? Miracle. Are you following that? Yeah, so the reason for their endorsement of Jesus was not even his teaching. The reason for their endorsement of Jesus were the miracles that he did. So Nicodemus was saying, well, we don't know where we are from, but the miracles have shown that you are from God. Are you there with me? All right. Let me trouble you with one scripture quickly, and then I will round up because of my time, even though we have a distance to. Okay, let's trouble you with one scripture. Acts chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, quickly. Acts chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. Saying, what shall we do with this man? For indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Please, help me reason. No, go back there. Help me reason that scripture very well. Because this is the Sanhedrin. This is one of the sessions in the Sanhedrin. Are you with me? And sometimes, in the Sanhedrin, sometimes the Sadducees are more than the Pharisees. Sometimes in the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees can be more than the Sadducees. If you see the decisions and the conclusions that they make in council, you will know which of the sects had an upper hand. So in this case, which sect? Huh? You didn't get it. It's Sadducees. Sadducees don't believe in miracles. Sadducees will want... Oh my, you are not following. I'm discouraged by your not following now. So I'm going to stop. They say there is something that has happened here that we cannot deny. But if you now check their strategy to stop what they cannot deny, in the next verse, what did I say? He said, but that is spread no further among the people. Let it not go out that miracles are real, because it will weaken our position and no one will have regard for the Sadducees again. That is spread no further among the people. Then they came up with a threat, with intimidation, that they should speak no more about this name. Because when the people were answering to the charges, they said it was the name of Jesus that was responsible. So they said, all right, preach no more about what? So that came from the altar of the Sadducees. And Jesus had already said that you need to beware of the doctrine of the Sadducees and the doctrine of the Pharisees. So if we are saying, what happened to this time? Is this my time? I saw 5 minutes. I didn't see that one. Well, I'm already flowing with that 5 minutes. Jesus, are you with me? My God, I was not seeing that one. Well, I will no longer see it. If you look at the conclusions that the Jewish ruling council comes up with, you can tell the dominant faction in each context, in each time that decisions and resolutions were made. You could know the inspiration that was behind the effort. And in this case, it was the philosophy of the Sadducees. He said that it spreads no further among the people. The strategy was to threaten them and to command them not to speak again in the name of Jesus. Meanwhile, I told you that the reason why a new kind of leader that had grounds in scholarship was required was occasioned by a generosity to allow the Jews to run their religion. And it will interest you to know that this dichotomy is still obtainable in the body of Christ today. You find people that can be described as Pharisees. They believe that the purity of our faith is in laws, in observations. And then we also find the liberals that take off like a tornado and believe that laws are of the Old Testament. And so Apostle Paul, understanding this challenge, now began to instruct his spiritual son. And this was the instruction he gave him. First of all, that is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And I'm wondering what's the meaning of that. What kind of study am I doing in order for me to receive approval from God? I don't know if you have meditated on this scripture. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Because basically, a preacher of the gospel, when he's studying, Most often he's studying in order to have a more lucid approach of communication. It's more about studying for the congregation. And this man is saying, we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God so that we can become workmen that do not need to stop at the bus stop of shame. When we have gained the skill that will equip us to rightly divide the word of truth. So there are too many questions in that scripture. How do you study to show yourself approved unto God? That's the first question. At what point do you become a workman that has gone beyond the possibility of shame? What is the true art of dividing the word of truth? Because when Paul spoke about rightly dividing the word of truth, his practice as a tent maker influenced that aspect of the scripture. Because if you want to make a tent, it's just like making a trouser. How many of you know how to, you are into fashion designing in this place? All right, so we don't have any fashion designer this month. Okay, we have two of them in the class. I take some materials to the tailors, and when you give it out to the tailors, they mutilate it. When they finish cutting it, then they begin to mend it. The skill, because I can use the sewing machine. We had a sewing machine in our house some time ago, so every one of us, if you are bored, you just hop on the sewing machine and you try to make something out of the machine. So I can use a sewing machine. And I believe everybody in this place, if you try hard enough, you get the sewing machine to do something. But the skill that is involved in fashion designing is not in the use of the machine necessarily. It is in the cutting. Because if you cut wrongly, your left trouser will be baggy. And then the right trouser will be pencil. So Paul is saying that there is a way to rightly divide. It's that right division that will present the word of truth as the whole counsel of God. So today again, we have a challenge. The challenge of two extremes in the body of Christ and a community of scholars that have the skill of striking the balance and needed in the body of Christ to present the counsel of God in his holistic format without ambiguity, with all clarity, so that any seeker of God that stumbles upon your presentation or your materials, we know exactly what it takes to find God. The grace of a teaching priest to bring the counsel of God in such a way that it doesn't expose the people that believe you to a way of life that is inconsistent with the prescription of Scripture. But a skill that is rooted and it is drawn from exertion and study under the influence and the guidance of the Holy Spirit is what is needed to present the whole truth of God as it is sustained in the mind of God. My challenge to us as graduating students of this great institution is study to show yourself approved unto God. I don't have the time for that because I took the time of 5 minutes earlier. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I will end with a testimony. I was invited for a conference, and I was the second speaker in the morning session. So the first speaker was obviously more eloquent than myself. You know, I told you I was born a stammerer, and I speak by the grace of God. He was very eloquent, but what he said was poison. Not because he intentionally wanted to say poison, but he was a Sadducee by reason of this presentation. And all of the things that he made available had no foundation. Even though they sounded like truth, but outside of the habitat, truth does not exist in a vacuum. So if you take truth out of its context, death will flow out of it. So after the presentation, I felt the impression so strong in my spirit. The Holy Spirit wanted me to build foundation, not preach a different message, but to build foundation into what was already preached. So that we can now see what was preached and know what aspect of what was preached is truth and what aspect of what was preached was deception. And by deception, I mean that which is not founded in Scripture, but is a good way of thinking. May the Lord give you understanding. So, even though I was not as eloquent, we began to bring the building blocks together. In fact, nobody knew what I was doing. By the time we put the last block in place, it became clear what aspect of the presentation that made everybody so excited. It became clear what aspect of it was truth. Because according to Jesus, the doctrine of the Pharisees, you know, the Pharisees, let's leave that. It was leaven. And like I was trying to explain before this time, if you put yeast on wheat, on a dough, it makes it swell. It's not as if the amount of dough increased, but the yeast gave the dough a size which it exaggerated it. And if you are going to rightly divide the word of truth, you need to take exaggerations out. Are you there? That's the reason you are not allowed the creativity of using living. If what you want to serve is the word of truth, exaggerations cannot be part of your delivery. It means that you have said several things that if people anchor their faith upon, they will be disappointed. Part of the reasons why Apostle Paul made deliberate decisions in his ministry, I'm tempted to continue, but I resist the temptation. But I accept the temptation of reading one more. Paul made a statement here that I'd like to show us, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning from verse number 1. This was a deliberate decision. He didn't learn it from Bible school. The people that he saw teaching before he entered into the teaching ministry were not conscious of it, but he made a deliberate decision in the delivery of his service, the service of teaching and preaching. This was his decision. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the counsel or the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech," this was his deliberate decision, "and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom." His approach to the teaching ministry was excluded the possibility of enticing people. Enticing people with human wisdom. it is possible for you to inculcate some human wisdom in your delivery. But Apostle Paul, even though he knows that is a regular practice, will not explore that option because he had an objective in mind. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, the ruling principle, the ruling influence that determined his preference was the power of the Holy Ghost that was at work within him. Why was this his deliberate decision? Next verse. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, the reason for which he chose his peculiar style of delivery in terms of the teaching ministry is because he wanted the faith of his hearers to be anchored properly. Do you realize that if you believe wrong, you will live wrong? And when Paul came to the realization of the enormous responsibility that it was to serve people with the Word of God, he decided to make some deliberate decisions, and the decisions were geared at a goal. He wanted his hearers' faith to be anchored not on the wisdom of man. You see, in attempting to generate laws that will govern society, the Pharisees now began to preach the traditions of men. And Paul, being a Pharisee, knows the impact of what the traditions of men have done. He decided to only operate under the influence of the Holy Spirit. As much as we study, even the utterance to accurately deliver a burden upon your heart in such language of precision that Jesus would have employed if he were physically present teaching, you will need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You will need the Holy Ghost. In fact, there are several revelations in Scripture that if you don't have utterance, help from the Holy Spirit, you can't drive it. So even though he was a great scholar, it was the Spirit of God that superintended his delivery in every form and in every fashion. No one serves the Word of God better than the Holy Ghost. And when you begin to deliver these dividends of the grace of God, namely the teaching of the Word of God, under the help of the Holy Spirit, your well-researched material, in fact, you can come to the pulpit and the Holy Spirit will scramble your presentation and say, all right, you put this scripture first, you put this thought next, and which is different from how you researched it and how you studied it. It gives you a different lineup on delivery. Paul says, that's my model because I want your faith to be anchored on the Word of God and on the power of God and not on the wisdom of men. So the wisdom of men is not likely to take us very far. It will even bring us to a point where we doubt the efficacy of the things that we have believed. Hallelujah. So we have a great responsibility to study, yes, to bring truth out, but to trust the Holy Spirit to empower us with what it takes to deliver the counsel of God the way Jesus would have done if he were physically present teaching us. If the Word of God goes out with that kind of precision, my belief is that falsehood will die a natural death. So with the increase of men and women like you that have gone through the process of discipline to know how knowledge is found, and the additional spiritual rigor that it takes to function under the influence of the Holy Spirit in the delivery of this great task. I'm so sure that the kingdom of darkness will experience great plunders in the days to come. Now, as I round up, I'd like you to stand on your feet, you graduating students, so that I can pray over you. God is going to cause your face to shine in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, before I pray for you, I would like you to present to God your own personal desire of such things that you are hoping that He will equip you to do after this time of learning. Can you take a moment and present a passionate desire to God? This is what I'm trusting that you will empower me to do in my city, in my workplace. I'm trusting that you'll give me the grace to be able to set up a prayer cell. A prayer cell in my meeting, in my house, in my living room, where people will be coming for the word of God and they'll be coming for discipleship. Just like Prof said, the objective is discipleship, not just getting men to know Jesus, but getting men beyond the altar call to stay true to the commitment that they have made to the Lord when they met Him at salvation. So in a moment of time, I would like you to express, oh my God, express your heartfelt desire to Him this morning. Your heartfelt desire to Him. This is what I am asking. This is what I seek. This is my desire. If only you can make your grace available, I will be your instrument. I'll be your mouthpiece. I'll be that intercessor whose knees will never go weary, making earthly, releasing earthly permission for heavenly interference, that your glory will fill my neighborhood, that the staff that work in the same office that I work in will come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I will be that functionary that will stand and use every argument in the office to present Jesus Christ and His ways. Yes, express your desires to Him this morning as we make demands on His grace. We make demands on His Spirit. The Lord will equip you. He will equip you. He will strengthen you with might by His Spirit in your inner man. Oh my God. I saw Saneco Prisco Faila Abama Isco Prebo Sobriate Cosquito Minobo Rocosi. There is a dimension of approval that comes when one takes on the burden of a scholar to show himself approved unto God. Because he is studying to know the ways of God, even God Himself will become fond of him. Even God Himself will begin to recommend him. Even God Himself will begin to recommend his messages, recommend the things that are flowing out of his spirit man, because he takes upon himself the labor, the task to study, to dig, to find the things that are locked up in Scripture. There is an approver, God Himself. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. He recommends you. He will recommend you. He will say your name in people's ears. Just like God, through an angel, went to the house of Cornelius and Peter was recommended as the oracle that understands the depth of the things that they need to transit from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. There is a dimension of competence with God that I am trusting him, that each and every one of us that has gone through this program will enter into their recommendations from heaven. Suddenly
in someone's dream, you will appear. And God will be telling that one, go to this sister. I have trained her. She has learned the way, the rigor of how to find my truth enshrined in the scriptures. She has something to say to you. God will begin to recommend you. He will begin to lead people to come around your life to listen to the wondrous things that He has placed upon your heart. Scholars are needed. Scholars are needed to bring the full hold of heaven's civilization on His people. So you will be the messenger of the Lord. Samokoria mama siketama haide. Rokeskito pamaisa kopre makanse kuria bahala. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. Listen to me. I see in the spirit. I see a Bible being lifted up. And anytime I see this, God is saying to me that there is someone in the congregation. You have a teaching ministry. You have a teaching ministry. And you were graced. You were graced with teaching grace. Grace. But unfortunately, you've not been the kind of scholar that is required for God to begin to recommend you. And so you have not grown in this grace. Even though the grace that you carry has great potential, it has great potential, it has not been maximized. There is an oil that is going to come upon you, an anointing, that will make studies sweet. It will make it sweet. It will make it sweet. There's an anointing. There's an anointing. If you know what I'm talking about, when you sit before your Bible begins to speak to you. That's what I'm talking about. The scriptures, they come alive before you. It's as if Ezekiel is prophesying again. It's as if Jeremiah is prophesying again. And there is an anointing that will come up. Oh my God, it's coming already. 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 It's an empowerment. It will make the scriptures like honey. It will be sweet to your taste. As you begin to navigate, it will be sweet to your taste. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith may not be anchored on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Can you pray that prayer and say, Lord, let my efforts, let my labors make men to anchor their faith on your power. Somebody needs to pray that prayer. Oh, Mahasia Makante Bohoria. Sovia Compandi, Hisco Velabisco Palabatea. Mescom Presco Poto Babusca de Brelia, Sacumba, Babrasca Tomina Cadelico Beso Soto. Eco Bisaquilia Brasca Tominandeli. Seminai Compena, Scambra Halacute Azi. Lebroski to bongolo sali, bongolo si babresko padlama kanteli. Let my efforts make men anchor their faith on the power of God. Yela bobo santoria kambesi ko prante, yela bosi ko pranta bakante.
Yela bo
Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now listen to me. I beheld in the spirit, and I saw an angel of the Lord whispering into the ears of someone. And the Lord speaks to me, and he says that there is a woman here. He said your spiritual ears are about to pop open. Now God will release a grace on that woman in the next 17 seconds. And this grace will be an enablement that will make it easy for you to pick the things that God is saying in the spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you stretch forth your hand and let your hand come heavy upon this woman that you are bringing into intimacy with you. Let your hand come heavy. Let your hand come heavy upon the woman, anywhere she is, on the balcony, on the floor, online. Let your hand come heavy and let her ears in the spirit pop open, pop open, pop open, pop open, pop open. Yes, it comes stronger. It comes stronger on you from the crown of your head. Says, I should tell you, you will live way longer than your father lived, inclusive of the plus or minus that the headmaster, you will live way longer than. The Lord is coming, he's coming, he's coming so strong. I sense his presence. Oh, Jesus, it's intense. Oh, my God, he has already. Oh, my God. He's about to fall on someone. It's about to fall on someone. It's about to fall on someone. Oh my God. With great hope, Jesus. It's about to fall on someone. Oh yes. Is domina kabibokoria. Breskopi tamina ila kombe. Now, where is that lady? I've forgotten her name. The one that was fainting during the program. Where are you? You? Come. Now, so we want to release her from any such, in my own opinion, a spiritual. So we'll find out if it's spiritual. And every trace of every, it used you. Father, in the name of Jesus. 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 We uproot as a congregation every weapon of the enemy that was taught into her life to distort it, to resist it. Today, let the yoke, let it break. Let it break! Let it break! Let it break! In the name of Jesus! And from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, I break every yoke. Every yoke that has affected your nerves, Every yoke, I break it this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Now, you will help me. Father, let her receive some power. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Put your hand on her back and begin to pray in the spirit. Yeah, on her back, yeah. You have my head. So those of you graduating, it's time to speak in tongues. Exercise your spirit. You will be the Lord's messenger. Dia fole makadia maturia babahile. Onte siko baba lekosi mahadeli. Jamindo heza iko brante busa kaparata. Mahais kompali. Seminonte, Brakatusa Sali Campelana, Shekibo Kante Kusali, Abraiko Palabate, Abraiko Sido Bantemna, Embraske Tomina Katavana Maboria, Sheiko Vela Siko Braskito Baliba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now listen to me before I pray. Listen to me. The Lord shows me that one of you, okay, two of you actually, has a healing gift. Now, the hand of God will show those two people. Father, among these graduating students, those two that have a healing gift that you will use, his hand will come on you. Don't worry. His hand will come. His hand will come. It will be the fire will come. Now, see, the ushers, please help me quickly. Help me. Those two, oh my God, it's coming. It's coming stronger. I need those two people. This affliction ends today in the name of Jesus. And I see that you also walk in the gift of healing. You walk in it. There is a powerful thing that God wants to do. Where is the Ghanaian man that gave this testimony? Yeah. Come. Let the grace of the Lord on your life be multiplied in the name of Jesus. Let it be multiplied. Let it be multiplied. Let it be multiplied. In the name of Jesus. 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 Now, listen. One of you has the gift of prophecy. One of you. I see a trumpet in the spirit. Whenever I see that trumpet, it means that somebody has the gift of prophecy. One of you. So, yeah. So bring that one. There's another one. The hand of God will... You can't resist it. It's going to be intense. You can't resist it. You can't resist it. It will be intense. It's a rain. There's a rain of the presence. There's a rain of the presence that you cannot resist. There's a rain. And it's flowing already from the crown of your head. It's flowing to the soles of your feet. You cannot resist. You cannot resist what I'm talking about. It's the grace of God. It's so strong. It's so strong, and I sense it. Oh, my God. You will penetrate difficult places. In the spirit, and you don't need to believe me. They came with lamps. Anytime I see this sign in the spirit, it means God is opening the channel of prophetic dreams. The anointing to perfect what I'm talking about, it will begin to come. It cannot be less than two people. The Holy Ghost will stretch forth his hand. He will stretch forth his hand and oh my God. That is the clothing of the Holy Ghost. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, this is the time to begin to speak in tongues. I so celebrate Kofila Mahabato Kompele. Ruaske Mpose. Laboria Kadehi. I'm looking for one of you. The person that I'm looking for during the course of this, your course, your mom began to develop health challenges. It's one of you during the course, your mom began to develop health challenges, and God is speaking to me about your mom. So if you had something similar to what I'm trying to describe, come, please come. I see that. No, come here. I want to send a message to your mom now. I have 18 minutes to do that. Sending a message. Yeah? Just find a spot. It will be difficult for me to know who I'm talking about. Yeah, find a spot. I have other ways of knowing who I'm talking about. Alright, so just stand where you are. Then we'll pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, that specific individual that you were talking about, whose mom came under severe attack while he was carrying out this program to distract him or her, so that they will not enter into the inheritance that you have made available. If there's another one among them, let there be a manifestation. Let your hand show me. Okay, yeah, he's coming. There's another one. He will come. Okay, help me find that one, so that they can enter fully into what you have ordained, into what you have designed. In the name of Jesus. Now let the hand of God rest upon you mightily from this point, and I use you as a point of contact to address the issues on the life of your mom. I break the yoke. For the rest of you, I'll just touch you. If I touch you, you can go back to your seat. Just leave. Okay. Oh my God. I release the power of God on your mom, anywhere she is, and I break that yoke in the name of Jesus Christ. I release the power of God on your mom, and I break the yoke in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I see a light. And this light that I see came upon you twice, probably. Because the Lord is saying for me to tell you that He is going to help you. He's going to help you. I beheld the heavens open, and I saw a messenger from heaven holding, one holding your left hand and the other one holding your right. And the Lord said, I will help him. I will help him. Now I pray. Lord, behold my brothers and my sisters. They have enrolled into the responsibility of seeking out your word, seeking out your wisdom, so they can teach your statutes and your judgments. I ask, O God, that unique grace might rest upon them in the name of Jesus. I see one of you that has you experienced excruciating pain on your stomach, somewhere close to your abdomen. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Come on. Let it be taken away. Let it be removed in the name of Jesus. Let it be removed. If I touch you, you can come. Let it be removed. Let it be taken away. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Alright, so. Now, this is the moment I've been waiting for. There's an angel that follows me around, but he doesn't come early. But that angel carries a bowl of oil to anoint people. So the angel just came now. Now, even beyond the people graduating, there's going to be anointing. Just open your heart. Don't make noise. Don't just open your heart. Just open your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, those that you came to anoint, I ask that you begin to anoint them. 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 He's coming. He's coming. Begin to anoint them. Begin to anoint them. Anoint them. Anoint them. Let capacities be increased. Change our fortunes. Change our story. Begin to anoint them. Begin to anoint them. Begin to anoint them. I'm seeing the anointing on someone on the balcony. Someone on the balcony. There's an oil that is coming upon you. Begin to anoint them. Anoint them. Anoint them. Fresh grace for ministry. Fresh grace for witness. Fresh anointing for the work of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes. The grace of prophecy. The grace of prophecy is in this room. The grace of prophecy just came into the room now. The grace of prophecy just came into the room now. Someone in this place will prophesy in a moment of time. Someone in this place will prophesy in a moment of time. When you are here, when you are there, when you are there, when you are there.